All right, we're ready to get started. Let me say a prayer for us again. I just believe that God would speak to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just commit to you this time. Thank you for bringing us together. Now we just pray, no distractions. Let us focus on your word. And we just want to receive deeply from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in our Envision series. We're talking about where we're going. That's vision, where we are headed. And this is our vision that's up here. Also, it'll be up on the PowerPoint. Let's read this out loud together. This is the vision of our church, where we are headed. We want to see passionate pursuit of God and massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world. So we believe we're headed to revival. In humility, we believe that God will bring passionate pursuit of God in our midst. It's going to be a domino effect. Other people are going to be led to the Lord. It's going to lead to massive salvations even all over the world. In humility, we believe that we'll be a part of this global revival. The question is, how are we going to get there? That's our mission statement. It is welcome home. We're going to welcome home those who are distant from God, those who are distant from the church. We're going to welcome home those who are within our church. And as we do this, we believe that'll lead to this massive salvation revival, even globally. So also when we're welcoming people home, just even like to our physical home, we need to get prepared, right? We need to clean up our house and get things ready for people to be welcomed home. And similarly, as a church family, we need to get prepared. And so we have four action points. If I can call it that, four core values, four things that we're going to do to get prepared to welcome people home. And if we can, just read that out loud together too. So let's read it together. Word convicting, enjoy Jesus every day. So we've been talking in the month of February about word convicting, enjoying Jesus every day. The title of today's message is One Thing. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. We're talking about one thing, word convicting, enjoying Jesus every day. Before we look at this passage, I'd like to help us to get thinking along what this passage talks about. So I want to share with you about a newspaper article that ran a while back, and they put some data in this newspaper article about if you live to 80 years old, how long will you spend cumulative doing certain activities, all right? So I wanted to share with you some of this data, and I'm just going to put it up here in question format, just make it a little bit more interactive, okay? So first one, if someone lives to 80 years old, how long in total would he or she spend going through junk mail? How many of you think A, 7 months, B, 8 months, C, 9 months, D, 10 months? Correct answer is B, 8 months. Probably longer than you expected, right? Next one, if someone lives to 80 years old, how long in total would he or she spend eating hot dogs? You might be surprised that it's even 5 days, but it's at least 5 days. So how many of you, A, 5 days? B, 6 days? Sorry, I just clicked it by accident. Just giving you this. 5 days, a long time. A, 1 year. B, 1.5 years. C, 2 years. D, 2.5 years. Correct answer is D, 2.5 years. I can't believe it. 2.5 years of your life spending watching TV commercials. Last one. If someone lives to 80 years old, how long until he or she spend worrying? A, 2 years. B, 4 years. C, 6 years. D, 8 years. You guys think that you spend 8 years worrying? Correct answer is C, 6 years. Did you guys want me to use this, the handheld? Work better? Okay. All right, so this is the point that I'm trying to make with all of this data. We need to have priorities in our lives, right? No one sets out to eat hot dogs for 5 years out of their life, right? No one wants this worry for 6 years. Right, so we need to prioritize, and Jesus certainly spoke into this about setting priorities in our lives. So when we read Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, look at what Jesus said about setting priorities, setting things in order in our lives. And so let's read it together. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. I do encourage you to have it open in front of you, again, to read in the context, take notes, etc. But it's up here on the PowerPoint and on the screen in the NIV. So would you read it out loud together? Chapter 10, 38 through 42, at the home of Mary and Martha. As Jesus, Okay, real famous story in the Bible. And I would say that Martha had a similar vision to us. She was a follower of Jesus. She certainly wanted to pursue Jesus. She certainly wanted to see massive salvations, if I could call it that. She wanted other people to follow Jesus. So she had a similar vision to us. This is where she was headed. This is where she wanted to lead people. And I would say that she had a similar or even the same mission as us. She wanted to welcome people home. She literally wanted to welcome people to her home. And she had the opportunity of all opportunities. She had the opportunity to welcome Jesus himself in the flesh to her home. If I can put it this way, she had an opportunity to have downtime with Jesus, right? And verse 39 tells us that her sister Mary literally had downtime with Jesus. Her sister Mary literally sat down at the feet of Jesus and had time with him. She had downtime with Jesus. But verse 40 tells us that Martha did not have downtime with Jesus. Martha, if I could put it this way, she had uptime with Jesus. She was up, she was running about the house, she was making all the preparations, she was cooking the food, etc., getting everything ready for Jesus and all the other people that were going to be gathered together. And I think that you would agree with me that this was not a bad thing. This was a good thing, right? We talked about how we need to get prepared to welcome people home. She was making the preparations to welcome people home, and so she wasn't doing anything wrong. So that's why it seems understandable, I think you would agree, what she said next in the second portion of verse 40. She said this. She came to him, Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me!" Exclamation point. There was some tension here between Martha and Jesus. And Martha was coming to Jesus and saying, "Lord, don't you, Jesus, care that my sister has left me to do the work?" And she said to Jesus, with an exclamation point for emphasis, tell me, you are Jesus. Certainly you know that preparations need to be made to welcome you home. Tell Mary to help me. So there's tension between Martha and Jesus at this point. And Jesus responds to Martha and says this. Can we read it out loud together again? Or why don't you read it out loud? Verse 41, 42. "Martha, Martha, I would like to highlight three words here: many, few, and one. Jesus said to Martha, there's many things that people get worried and upset about. There's many things, all sorts of things that maybe this morning we might be worried or upset about. Many. And Jesus said, but there are a few things that are needed. Would you agree that Jesus in his teachings, the Bible, tells us there are a few things that are needed? Things like loving other people, respecting other people, being responsible, etc. There are a few things that are needed. Jesus would agree with this. But Jesus went on to say and clarify and said, indeed, there's only one. We got to forget about the many. We got to forget about the things that worry, the things that are upsetting. Jesus is saying, we got to forget about those many. We got to focus in on the few. There's a few things that I taught you about. Those are important. Those are needed. But indeed, only one, which was about coming to the feet of Jesus. So Jesus was saying, listen, that when you come to the feet of Jesus, then make Jesus central, make Jesus priority, make Jesus our portion, make Jesus our reward, make Jesus our inheritance. This is the place that Jesus said is the one thing, the place that is better, the thing that is better that will not be taken away. Here's my question to you. We know what it looks like for Mary to come to the feet of Jesus. She did this. She literally came to the feet of Jesus. Jesus was in the flesh. How do we come to Jesus' feet? Because Jesus is not in the flesh anymore. So how do we, as people living in 2016, how do we come to the feet of Jesus? For this, I think that we need to look at some other scripture passages about coming to the feet of Jesus and know what it looks like for me and you in 2016 to come to the feet of Jesus. Many of us are very familiar with this passage. We would say, yes, we need to come to the feet of Jesus, but what does that mean for us? What does that look like for us to come to the feet of Jesus? Would you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 through 11? We're asking the question, how do we come to the feet of Jesus? What does that look like for us? Revelation 4, 10 through 11. Could you read that? out loud together. Revelation 4, 10 through 11. The 24 elders. This is a picture of the throne room in heaven. Jesus is sitting on the throne. And the 24 elders come in and they take off their crowns before Jesus. They come to his feet before the throne. They take off their crowns, they bow down, and they begin to worship in this way. In order for us to enjoy a king, enjoy the presence of a king, we need to take off our crowns, right? Would it be weird and awkward if you went into a king's presence and you began to wear the crown? It would be awkward. You would not be able to enjoy that relationship. When it is with Jesus, we need to be taking off our crowns at the feet of Jesus and giving him the crown and saying, Jesus, you're the king. I'm not the king. It's about you ruling and reigning in my life and in this generation, in this world. It's not about me ruling and reigning, Jesus. It's got to be about you. And when we begin to take off our crowns at the feet of Jesus, we're actually casting off our worries, because it's a king's portion to worry, right, about everything that happens. It's not us as people that are following the king. It's not our portion to worry about all that matters in the kingdom. It's Jesus's concerns. Let me give us an illustration of this. We're talking about a king and the subject, but if I can just use an illustration or the dynamic of a father and a son. We need to let Jesus be the king. We need to let the king be the king. We're not the king. We need to, likewise, let the father be the father and let the son be the son. So let me use an illustration of my older son, Silas, who's 3 years old. At home, sometimes I need to let Silas know, you know, what he can do and what he can't do. And sometimes I'll tell him, hey, you need to do this or you can't do this. And you gotta listen to me. I'm your dad. I'm daddy and you're the son. And Silas sometimes jokingly, and he is joking because he has a smile on his face and he likes to do this, but he'll say to me, no, I'm the daddy, you're the son. And I say to him, all right, Silas, then you're gonna have to go change Levi's diaper. You're gonna have to cook us dinner. You're gonna have to go get a job. And Silas gets this worried look on his face, and he says, no, you're the daddy, I'm the son. Listen, it's much more enjoyable when he lets me be the daddy and he is the son. I want to say, the way that we need to enjoy Jesus, or the way that we can enjoy Jesus, is we need to let Jesus be the king, and we're the subject. But some of us this morning, we could be wearing the crown, and we got our agenda. We got our ideas of what Jesus needs to do. We got an idea of the things that need to happen in our lives. And we're worried and upset about the many things. Like Martha. Would we this morning take off our crowns at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, you're the king. And Jesus, you take care of the worries. Because Jesus, you can handle the worries and I can't. At the end of the sermon, we'll have a time where we just pray and respond to God's word, and maybe some of us need to do that this morning and just give the crown to Jesus, come to his feet and give him the crown at the same time and in a simultaneous way giving him our worries. But what else does it look like for us to come to the feet of Jesus? If you're turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15 verse 30, those of you who've been following along of our devotional, The Living Life, this was a passage that we got to not too long ago about coming to the feet of Jesus and what that looks like. Can you read that out loud together? Matthew 15, verse 30. Great crowds. This is what it looked like for Jesus, right? The people immediately, we find out desperately in the Bible, urgently, came running to the feet of Jesus to receive healing, of being lame, of being blind, crippled, mute, other things. This was physical healing, but other things of emotional healing, mental healing, relational healing, financial healing, that we need to run immediately, urgently to the feet of Jesus to receive healing. Let me use another example. This is of my younger son, Levi, who's a year and a half years old, and he is just one that sometimes, you know, falls down this is what happened on Friday. He fell over, hit the side of his head. It was nothing really serious, but it was serious to him, you know, because he's a year and a half he's only a year and a half, and so he was shocked, and so he fell down, hit the side of his head, immediately started crying, and immediately, simultaneously to starting crying, he just got up on his feet, and he ran right over to my feet. I happened to be crouching over, so he ran towards my feet and into my arms so that I could take care of him, make things better, and this is, you know, I feel like that, well, the Bible says that we need to become like little children, and you know, this next week we have the healing conference, and those of you who have been around our church for a while, this is our second year in a row of having a healing conference, and I want to say that we really believe this. You heard some of the testimonies this morning of healing. We really believe that Jesus heals. We really believe that he cares about situations, and we really believe that when we welcome people home, we need to welcome them home to a place and a community where Jesus is going to care for what they're going through, and that Jesus can and will bring deliverance to them. This is what Jesus did. The conference that happens next week is do what Jesus did. This is what we are called to do as a church. So for us this morning, there are some of us that need healing, that need breakthrough. For some of us, it is a physical thing. For some of us, it's an emotional thing, a financial thing, whatever the case may be. I want to tell you that that's why we have the ministry time on Sunday mornings, why we have prayer times in our small group meetings, etc. But I just want to tell you that we really believe this. We really believe, and we're talking about word convicting. We really believe that the word would convict us, and this is what is in Scripture and what it looked like to run to the feet of Jesus. And we believe that as we gather together as a community, that we can run to Jesus and receive healing. I wanted to say this, and please try not to misunderstand what I'm about to say. We cannot just welcome people home to listen to Sunday sermons. We're talking about word convicting. I believe that there's power, and I believe that there's life change during our time to sermon. But if people just come and just hear, I think that's not our full mission or our full vision. We need to welcome people home, hear God's word, but also know that Jesus cares about whatever that they're going through. And Jesus can and will touch them and heal them when people begin to run to the feet of Jesus. I want to encourage you in this morning. I want to encourage you in this as we walk out of here, that we are called to do what Jesus did. We are called to also be ones that run immediately, urgently, and desperately to the feet of Jesus. This is what it looks like to run to the feet of Jesus. It looks like us putting our crowns down, saying, God, we cannot worry. We cannot handle this. Put our crowns on before Jesus. It also looks like us desperately, immediately running to the feet of Jesus in the midst of the many things that worry us or upset us, that he would bring deliverance. But one more thing, and it's right from this passage. What does it look like to run to the feet of Jesus or come to the feet of Jesus? It says this. If I just double click this. In verse 40, I believe, it says that what Mary did, or verse 39, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to what he said. Let me put it this way. We need to hear the word in order to enjoy the word. We need to hear the word of God, word convicting, in order to enjoy the word. John 1:14 says the word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. It's Jesus. We need to hear the word, listen to the word, in order to enjoy the word, in order to enjoy Jesus. I want to give an illustration of this that I think will be helpful. There was a video that went viral that many of you have probably seen already, where there were some parents that needed to hear the word in order to enjoy the word. Okay, so take a look. It's about a minute and a half, I think. Watch this dynamic. You got to hear the word in order to enjoy the word. Take a look.
Hyper.
I'm pregnant.
Hyper.
Yes.
Keep saying it. Keep saying
it. You're going to be grandparent.
Keep saying it.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Short.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Do you want me to what?
You are going to
beach. You are going to the beach.
You are going to be
You are going to beach and
be a.
And what?
You are going to be a.
I'm going to behave.
Grandfather.
I'm a father.
Grandfather.
A great father.
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather. I'm going to be a grandfather. I'm going to be a grandfather.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to be grandfather. I can't believe that.
Man, that works.
Are you going to be pregnant?
To hear the word in order to enjoy the word. I want to put it this way when we're talking about our 40 days of downtime. We need to hear the word of God, in order to enjoy the word, which is Jesus. I want to bring this continued encouragement for this 40 days of downtime, but this is really an encouragement in spending time with Jesus. And a primary way that we're going to hear God is we're going to hear him through the word of God. Now, we as a church, we're a church that believes in prophecy, words of knowledge, just God speaking in dreams and visions, all sorts of ways. But the word of God is the primary way that we're going to hear him. And all the rest of it, we believe that we can hear God, but all those things need to be in alignment with God's word. So we're not in God's word and know God's word and hear God's word. We're actually not going to be able to hear it through those other means. So when we talk about like spending time with Jesus, and it's true, you can spend time with Jesus in praying or just walking along the road and spend time with Jesus. But if you're not hearing the word of God, the pure word of God from scripture and encountering Jesus that way, you're not going to be able to fully enjoy Jesus. You got to hear the word in order to enjoy the word. And I wanted to bring an encouragement for us in these 40 days of downtime. There's still time for you to sign up, and I wanted to say again, it's not about meeting in groups necessarily, although that could be helpful, but just us as a church really truly embracing and saying, yes, we are going to spend the time with Jesus. We're going to respond to this word in Luke chapter 10. We're going to respond that it's not about the many things that are worrying and upsetting. We're not going to even focus in on the few things that are needed, but we're going to focus in on the one thing, which is coming to the feet of Jesus. And Mary came to the feet of Jesus, and she heard what Jesus said, and that was life change. That was her portion. That was her reward. That was her inheritance. And this story went down in history and changed the world, and I hope changes our lives. I wanted to bring an encouragement to us that just like this image, for some of us, we got to press in, and there's a part of it that is perseverance, of hearing and continuing to hear, and then finally being able to hear, and then finally being able to enjoy. Because sometimes we could go through our quiet times and go to scripture and just kind of get real frustrated and just put our hands up and say, I try. But I would just encourage us to, just like this, to press into that, because that's where the full enjoyment of Jesus happens. I want to bring an encouragement again for those of us who don't have a devotional resource, who have no resource to engage in reading scripture. I want to not just encourage you, I want to urge you, go get a resource today. There's thousands of them that are out there. There's a Living Life devotional that I personally use every single day that is a devotional resource just to help you to read scripture. And I wanted to say this. It's not going to be the most helpful for you to just flip the Bible open and just read whatever is there, and then next day flip it open again, read whatever is there. I believe that something is better than nothing, but at the same time, sometimes it's hard to understand scripture as it is. But when you're just reading it out of context and, just a different thing every single day and it's piecemeal, is probably or certainly not the best way to enjoy Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if you do not have a devotional resource, I urge you right after service, in just a few moments, that you can just go out and get that resource to help you to hear God's word so that you can enjoy God's word. Let's pray together. Can I ask our worship team to come forward, our prayer team to come forward at this time? We had a couple of specific things. Coming to the feet of Jesus and putting our crowns down, putting our worries down. And there's two things in particular that we feel like that some of us need to put down before Jesus. One is financial worries, another one is health worries. Taking our crowns off means taking our worries off. It's Jesus' portion. Only Jesus can handle it. We can't handle it. We're not the king. So financial worries and health worries, just to feel led to pray into that first. So all eyes closed, heads bowed. Are you here this morning with some financial concerns, health concerns, but yet you would come to the feet of Jesus and put your crown down and put your worries down? We're just going to pray together. Would you just raise your hand all the way up and then down, and we're going to pray together for these things. Father, we come to the feet of Jesus and we put our crowns down. Jesus, you're the king and we're not. And we just pray that you would focus us in on you and not the many things that worry and upset. So we lay our worries down before you. Take the worries. Jesus, be who you are. You're the king and we're not. Lift those burdens. In Jesus' name, let your ministry